Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, I want to start tonight by asking some questions, so don't look around because I'm asking you, okay? How many of you have ever been angry about something in your life? You've ever been angry about something, ever? I got my sermon, didn't I? Huh? Just about everybody. Only two or three cherubs in the room that have never been angry. I wonder how many of you here, you've ever been worried about something, anxious about something, worried about something? Okay. How many of you have received the Holy Ghost? You've already received the Holy Ghost. Most of you in the room have received the Holy Ghost. It's a wonderful experience, isn't it? Well, now let me ask you this. How many of you have been angry at one time or another since you received the Holy Ghost? Boy, we got a serious problem, huh? How many of you have been worried or anxious about something since you received the Holy Ghost? Now, let me ask you this. You got to be, don't anybody be funny now. This is for real stuff. Now, how many of you, when you received the Holy Ghost, the moment you received the Holy Ghost, you were angry? How many of you, the moment you received the Holy Ghost, you were worried, anxious, fearful, fretful? Now, if you got the Holy Ghost and you are angry or worried the moment you got the Holy Ghost, you didn't get the Holy Ghost I got. Because when I got the Holy Ghost, friend, it was joy unspeakable and full of glory. I never felt that way before. The most awesome, fantastic experience, hallelujah, in the universe is receiving the Holy Ghost. Now, I have seen a lot of people receive the Holy Ghost. In fact, in one night I saw over 500 receive the Holy Ghost in one night. I've never yet seen anybody receive the Holy Ghost mad. I just got the Holy Ghost and I'm not too pleased. You better get out of my way, bud, because I got power now. I got the Holy Ghost. I can kill you. Never saw anybody get the Holy Ghost like that. Neither have I seen anybody receive the Holy Ghost worried, anxious. Think about, I just got the Holy Ghost. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've had all kinds of problems in my life. I've had one bad situation after another. It seems like every time I turn around, I have a problem. And now this. I got the Holy Ghost. You know, it seems to me that I've seen a few people like that here at the camp. I've seen some walking around, look like your last friend just died. What happened? Praise God. When you get the Holy Ghost, you get the Holy Ghost. When you get the Holy Ghost, you get the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. Everybody say meekness. When you get the Holy Ghost, you get meekness. Now, you know, I used to wonder what meek meant. You know, I thought a person that was meek was somebody who would just stand there with kind of a half grin on his face, look like butter wouldn't melt in his mouth, you know. I'm meek. I thought meek meant weak. But it doesn't. Now let me give you a definition of meekness from the very outset here tonight. A meek person is one who claims no rights of his own. He is one who is willing to yield all possessions and personal rights to God and thereafter look upon what he has as just loaned to him by God for his work and for his glory. Now, I'm going to repeat that again because it's important. When you get the Holy Ghost, you get meekness. You see, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And a meek person is one who doesn't claim any rights of his own. Now, we happen to live in a society that is rights crazy. Everybody's got their rights. I got my rights. Don't you infringe upon my rights. I got my rights. Right? And we've got every kind of a society and a group known to man, and they got their rights. This is America. I got my rights. You can't tell me what to do. I got my rights. You know, even kids now in many states have rights to divorce their parents. Animals have rights. I'm a bear, don't touch me. I'm a spotted owl. Who? You don't touch me. Even the spotted owls have rights. And so this kind of a spirit, amen, sometimes tries to get a hold of us even after we've already come into the church, after we've already received the Holy Ghost. But we've got to understand, we would never have received the Holy Ghost unless we first of all would have turned everything over to Jesus. Put everything in His hand through meekness. You see, that's what meekness is. Meekness is the quality and the ability to turn everything over to the Lord. Praise God. My anger, my worry, my anxiety, I'm going to give it to Jesus. Do you remember how full of hatred and how full of anger and how full of anxiety you were before you received the Holy Ghost? But when you came to the altar, somebody told you about Jesus. Somebody told you it could be different. Somebody told you that Jesus could change your life and give you joy and peace beyond compare. And when you did it, you gave Him your anger. You gave Him your worry. You gave Him everything. And it resulted in receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now why don't we give Him some applause for the Holy Ghost? Now listen real close. You've all said that since you got the Holy Ghost, you've been angry, you've been worried. Now before we go on a guilt trip, let's just understand that anger and worry, I believe this, are emotional signals that come from the Lord that let you and I know that we are trying to change something or control something that God never intended for us to change or control. Otherwise, we wouldn't be angry. Otherwise, we wouldn't be worried. Otherwise, we wouldn't be anxious. Why are you angry? You're angry over something you can't change. You're angry over something over which you don't have any control. Why are you worried? You're worried about something that you just don't have any control over. Huh. So now, these are signals that come from the Lord that let us know, uh-oh, it's now necessary for me to turn that situation back over to the Lord, where it can again result, hallelujah, in peace and contentment and security in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Mallory, don't talk to me about being angry. I like being angry. You know, some people it seem to just enjoy little fits every once in a while. Just little emotional outbursts. I'm an angry person and I like it. Or you blame it on where you came from. You blame it on your background. You blame it on the fact that your grandpappy was an Italian or something. I can't help it. I just got born with angry genes, man. I'm just angry. And I blow my stack, if you don't mind. And after it's all over, it's over. I feel okay. Yeah, and Humpty Dumpty has already fallen off the wall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put the old boy back together again. And I know some people, Brother Cantrell, some people that I think they almost enjoy worrying. If there wasn't something to worry about, they'd manufacture it. They'd think it up. You know, you got some people that things are going far too smooth today. Something bad's fixing to happen. Just as sure as God made little green apples. This is the calm before the storm. You know, we think about old people, you know, worrying a lot. Man, just since I've been here, I've known there's young people, some of us here, we're full of anxiety. We don't know what the future is. We're going to talk about some of it. We're worried about this and we're worried about that. And some of us are trying to put on a pretty good show and a pretty good act. But way down inside, man, we got all kinds of wonderings and worries, and we're anxious, and we don't know what to do, and our stomach is tied in knots, and we got all kinds of pressures from here and pressures from there. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, friend, the Holy Ghost works. You don't need anything else. You don't need any new doctrine. You don't need any new experience. You don't need anything else out in the world. You don't need some other crutch. I'm here to tell you, it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. All we need is another good dose of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It still works. Anybody relating to any of this? Praise God. Huh. I know a lady in a church one time. This was a lady that was always, you know, she was the worrywart type. I mean, she'd go to the pastor and say, "Pastor, I know you don't have time to worry about everything. But she said, "I live alone and I've got a lot of time. Just give me the list." And she'd go and she'd take number one, worry about this. Worry about this. Worry about three. Number three. Number four. The whole deal. Amen. It's not the way we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to understand that when we receive the Holy Ghost, we got the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. And the Lord said, "Blessed are the meek." Hallelujah. Those that can on a daily basis, turn everything over to Jesus. I'm trying to make it as simple as I can make it. You have that quality. When you have the Holy Ghost, you don't have to live in fear and dread. Hallelujah. You can just turn it over to Jesus. That's meekness. That's the fruit of meekness. Turn it over to Jesus. Everybody say, "Turn it over to Jesus." Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you some of the benefits and the qualities that will come to you when you learn to turn everything over to the Lord. The first one is inward satisfaction. Now, some people just don't seem to be satisfied. Yes, they got the Holy Ghost at a certain point. They can take you to the place. They can take you to exactly where it happened. But something happened along the way. And somehow that feeling of satisfaction, that exuberance, has long since gone. It leaked out somewhere along the way. But David said, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever." That's what David said. He said, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied." Now, some of us haven't been eaten. I'm not talking about hamburgers and french fries. I'm talking about the Word of God. Now, you don't have to commit yourself to this, okay? Hey, I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. Everybody just stay with me, all right? Don't raise your hand. But how many of you read the Word of God on a daily basis? Huh? You don't have to raise your hand. Just ask yourself the question. Make an honest answer. If we're not living in this book, you are what you eat. Some of us spend a whole lot more time dilly-dallying in the things of this world, letting things go inside the ear, the eyes, kind of doing some stuff on the sly and think it's okay and think that we're going to get away with it and it's not going to affect our spirituality and our walk with God. Hallelujah. I believe that God is taking young men and young women today, the ones that really want to get in there. Hallelujah. Amen. And He, as a result of your reading and your studying and your praying and your seeking God, listen, that's not old-fashioned, friend. Hallelujah. It's up to date. The man that walks with God, hallelujah, is going to do exploits in Jesus' name. Jesus is still looking for young men and for young women to turn their back on sin and the world and ungodliness and unrighteousness and say, as for me, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to be influenced by others. I'm not going to be influenced by the world. Hallelujah. I got my mind made up. I'm going to live in the Word of God. I'm going to be satisfied. Satisfied. Satisfied with Jesus. We need some young men and young women that say, I don't need anything else. Take the whole world. Just give me Jesus. Give me the Word of God. Give me another dose of the Holy Ghost. Come on, young man, young woman. Say, this is it. Hallelujah. I just need another dose of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satisfied. Anybody in this room not satisfied after youth camp? There's something wrong. There's something bad wrong. There's nothing wrong with your Holy Ghost. Amen. You are not using the emotional signals that God gave you to good effect. The moment you start feeling anger rising up in you, immediately. Listen, if you learn this lesson young, friend, you'll be in good shape down the line. When you get angry, you immediately think, uh-oh, my, I'm guilty of picking up, reaching up and taking something that I initially gave to the Lord at the altar when I got the Holy Ghost. Because you see, when you got the Holy Ghost, didn't you give Him everything? You had to yield to Him everything. You would not have received the Holy Ghost unless you would have given Him everything. Is this correct? So now, somewhere along the way, you said, Lord, You're a busy God. You got 6 billion people in the world to worry about. And I just got a little teeny weeny problem. And so if you don't mind, I'll just reach up and I'll take it back and I'll take care of it myself. And when we take care of it, it results in anger and anxiety and worry, whatever. Amen. Now when that comes to you, amen, you must understand, amen, I'm trying to change something, control something, and all you got to do is through prayer, hallelujah, and faith in God, turn it back over to the Lord again. Hallelujah. What happens? What happens when that problem that you think is so big? What happens to that problem when you stop worrying about it and you stop fretting about it? What happens when it's in the hands of the all-wise God? What happens? I'm here to tell you, friend, my God knows what He's doing. He's never too early. He's never too late. He's always on schedule. He knows what He's doing. My God does all things well. He never makes a mistake because He's God. He's God. He's God. And He knows what He's doing. Let's applaud Him, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Inward satisfaction. How many of you can say I'm satisfied with Jesus? He never been mean to me. He don't beat me up. Hallelujah. He loves me. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. Amen. Even in the natural, if the day comes, you're not going to have enough food to eat. There's a lot of countries in the world, they're like scavengers trying to find food to eat. Here, we seem to have plenty so far. But none of us know what we're going to have to face in the future. What would happen if all the supermarkets closed up, which could happen? What happened if we couldn't get enough to eat? Because we're mostly all urban dwellers, not too many farmers around. I wonder if we'd go around complaining, saying, God, don't you know I'm an apostolic, United Pentecostal Church young person? Don't you know I got the Holy Ghost? Don't you think that out of all the people in the world, at least I, your most humble servant, ought to have enough food to eat? I wonder what would happen if things got real tough out there. I wonder how many of us would stay in, you know, for the long haul. I wonder how many of us would really trust Jesus Christ. Even though with our eyes we're seeing all the negative things. I wonder how many of us would use that Holy Ghost that He gave us. That fruit of the Spirit, meekness. Say, Lord, I'm not just a fair weather Christian. It doesn't matter come hell or high water, friend. I'm with Jesus. It don't matter if it's negative. It don't matter if there's earthquakes and riots. It doesn't matter what happens. Hallelujah, Jesus is my friend. I'm going to keep holding on to His hand. Hallelujah. It don't matter what happens. I'm going to trust Him. It doesn't matter if I land up in prison. It don't matter. Hallelujah. Though God slay me, yet will I trust Him. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to trust Him. Anybody here choose to trust God? It don't matter. I'm not going to question God. No. I'm just going to trust Him. Oh, let's applaud Him. Let's applaud the God that we trust. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. You know, one of our preachers, Brother Jose Kibaloy, down in Mindanao, down in the southern island of the Philippines, they were having a drought. No more food in their house. Brother Cantrell's all gone. He's a preacher. He's got 7 kids. No more food. How did he respond? Hey, God, you got a vacation? Hey, I got a problem. Ante up. No. Brother Kibaloy went into the bedroom and he began to pray. And the Lord gave him the assurance that He was going to provide for them that day. So he came out and he told his wife, he said, "Wife, boil the water for the rice." She calls him Brother Joe. She said, "Brother Joe, there is no rice." He said, "I know that, honey. Just boil the water for the rice." She started boiling the water for the rice. Then he told some of his children to set the table. He said, "Set the table. There's no food, man." Some of the kids were kind of chuckling, he said. "I think Daddy gone a little crazy. There's no food. Mommy boiled the water. There's no food. We set the table. There's no food." After a little while, he had him get around the table. Sit around the table. He said, "Now we're going to pray and ask God to bless the food." "Pray? Ask God to bless the food? There's no food, man." But they prayed a little prayer. Something like this: "Oh God, we thank You for the provisions of life. We thank You, Lord, that You brought us this far by faith. We pray that You provide for us again this day. In the name of Jesus, amen." Brother Kimberly telling me this story himself. He said, "Brother Mallory, no sooner have we lift our heads from the table, there is a knock on the door. I go to the door, there's a man standing there who's not a member of my congregation, just a casual acquaintance from across town. He's standing there with his 2 sons. He said, the man said, when I woke up this morning, he said, I felt like I should bring you these things. He had a 50-kilo rice sack, that's over 100 pounds of rice. And his son had another big sack that had a bunch of vegetables and stuff in it. And the other son was standing there holding 3 live chickens by the feet. Squawk, squawk." He said, "I felt like I should bring you these things. I hope they will be a blessing to you." My goodness. Brother Kimball, I said, "Brother Mallory, the sack is very heavy. I have to drag it to my house." He said, "When I go back out of the house to thank the man for his kindness," he said, "then I come back in." He said, "I see my 7 children and my wife." He said, "They are gathered around that sack. Their little hands are raised to heaven. Tears are coming down their cheeks. And they are praising and they are thanking God because they see their daddy's faith in action." Hey, that's what I'm talking about, friend. My God sees. He knows. He understands. Hallelujah. Don't you know the supermarket's not your provider? God is your provider. He is your Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. 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 Wasn't it David that said it? Once I was young, but now I'm old. But never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. When you get the Holy Ghost, you'll be satisfied. Come on. Let's praise him. Lord, do it tonight. Do it tonight, Lord. Do it tonight. Satisfied with Jesus. Anybody here getting this? Okay. We're talking about the benefits that come to the young lady and the young gentleman that learns to turn everything over to the Lord. There are benefits in living this kind of life. Instead of trying, you see, the Holy Spirit is a gentle dove. He's not going to coerce. He's easily grieved. If you take over, he's going to let you take over. And there's too many of us in this room that are trying to work out our own situations, and that's why we have these emotional problems. Tonight, we're going to understand what these emotional problems are in just a moment of time. And daily consistency, we can use those feelings of anger and worry to let us know who's in charge. I don't want to be in charge of my life. I want Him to be in charge of my life. When I'm angry and when I'm worried, I'm in charge. And I'm making a mess out of it. Did you know that when you get angry and you get worried and you get just go on and on in it until it gets at a high level, till you're just about ready to freak out, you're making a mess out of your life. Don't tell me you have to do that. You got the Holy Ghost. And when you got the Holy Ghost, you got meekness. And that's the quality of turning everything over to Him. Let Jesus take care of it. He knows what He's doing. Hallelujah. He's the only wise God who is blessed forever. One more applause for the King. Yeah, you know, I think young people have a lot of problems in this area, too. Sometimes you have fitful sleeps. Sometimes you can't sleep well at night. You've got so many things you're having to face tomorrow. You got peer pressure. You got people that are calling you names and saying things about people are unkind. Some of the statements that we make about each other are not very kind. We can be pretty mean and ugly. You know, kind of a survival of the fittest type mentality. Now, when we really let the Holy Ghost work in our lives, we're not going to get into that kind of stuff. Amen. But one of the qualities that comes when you learn to turn everything over to Him through meekness is rest. It's not the will of God for us to have fitful sleeps. It's not the will of God for us to resort to controlled substances in order for us to get our sleep. We do not need to have a medicine cabinet the size of a bureau next to our bed. It's not just older people that are resorting to all of these sleeping aids and so on in order to get to sleep. There's young people. Young people, not only drowning themselves on pills and substances of every kind to try to drown things out, but we got young people jumping off of bridges and taking their lives because they can't face tomorrow. Hey, that spirit should never grip one God tongue talking apostolics. Never. You told me you got the Holy Ghost. When you got the Holy Ghost, you got rest. Isaiah said it. He saw it. This is the rest wherewith he will cause the weary to rest. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. When you got the Holy Ghost, you got rest, 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 rest. Come on. Let's applaud him. We got to take care of our emotional problems. Hallelujah. Somebody try to offer you something? Oh, you need this. You get a real kick. No, thank you. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Hallelujah. We're talking about the qualities that come when you learn to turn everything over to the Lord through meekness. Hey, you know another one? Is it all right if I give you another one or two or three? Because it's important. This is another quality. Knowledge of God's will. I have had, I don't know how many young people come up to me since I've been here, struggling with the will of God. I want to find the will of God for my life. I want to find the will of God. I want to know what God's will for my life is. Now, I don't want to oversimplify this, but stay with me for just a minute. Somebody says, I want to find the will of God. I got news for you. The will of God is not lost. That's right. You know, I think some people think that the Lord is like, you know, He puts some kind of a spiritual Geiger counter in our hands and we're supposed to go and try to find the will of God and, you know, do the best we can. You know. The will of God. Just an old Pepsi Cola bottle cap. And you think God makes us do that to find His will? Or God is a fisherman with a rod and a big long line, and on the end of the line there's a juicy bait that represents, you guessed it, the will of God. I am the fishy that is searching for the will of God. I see the bait. It's the will of God. I swim up. I open my little fishy mouth. But just before I get to the bait, the Lord, the fisherman, is looking down at me. And he says, not tonight, sonny. I am here to tell you that God is not that way. Now, for those of you that are struggling with the will of God, I'm going to tell you what the will of God is for you, okay? Don't anybody get scared. I'm going to tell you what the will of God is for you today. It's the will of God for you today to be a Christian. Some of you are worried about so many other things, and you're not taking care of the most important thing. It's the will of God for you to be a Christian. Hallelujah. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's the will of God for you to be Christian. You don't have to come and say, I've just been wondering if it's the will of God for me to serve Him or not serve Him. You don't even have to. That's not a question. It's the will of God for you to be a Christian, right? It's the will of God for you to live holy. You don't have to struggle with that.
You don't have to go and ask your pastor, say, Pastor, I've been struggling with this. I really don't know if it's the will of God for me to live holy. And I just don't know, you know. I know the other people down the way, and that other church down there, they dress like this and they dress like that and all that. And I really know it's not really holy, but they seem to be getting along all right. And I just am wondering if it's the will of God that I could just kind of just live unholy and still love Jesus. What you talking about? Hey, you can't change the book. When he says, without holiness, no man shall see God, that's exactly what it means. We are not to compare ourselves with anybody else. We're the one God people. We're the Jesus name young people. Hallelujah. We are his ambassadors to the world. Bless your heart. Holiness is not negotiable. Hallelujah. It's the will of God for us to live holy. Be set apart. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Don't you let anybody put some little seed in you. I'm here to tell you the devil is subtle, and he's a dirty, rotten liar. Will not let him dilute this message. The holiness standards that are Bible holiness standards. Hallelujah. We're not going to let down the bar. We're not going to see how close we can get to the world. We're going to see how far away we can get from it. Bless your heart. We're going to live for God. Be holy. Come on, applaud him. Let the Lord know we're going to live in your will. Holy. Holy. You see, when you learn to turn everything over to God through meekness, you get a knowledge of his will. You don't have to go searching for it. You're living in it. You're living in the will of God. It's a daily walk. Now the Lord's going to lead you and guide you. David said, the meek also will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Now every time you see the word meek in the Bible, it means just give up. Turn it over to Jesus. You see? The meek will he guide in judgment. Those that turn everything over to Jesus on a daily basis, he's going to guide you. It says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Hallelujah. Didn't you know that God is a detailed God? He's not some kind of a pantheistic force and influence that just oozes out from under the cracks and the doors. He's kind of an impersonal God. He's a personal God. He's a detailed God. He sees the little sparrow that flies through the air. He bottles our tears. He numbers the hairs of our head. He clothes the lilies in the field. And then he says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You turn it over to him on a daily basis, you're going to be living in the will of God. Hallelujah. It's the will of God for me to be Christian. It's the will of God for me to live holy. And do you know what else is the will of God? It's the will of God for you to be a witness to somebody else about your faith. You don't have to struggle with that. Well, I'm kind of shy myself, and I'm kind of a silent witness. The Lord gave me a ministry of prayer. You don't have to struggle with that. You don't have to say, well, it just really isn't my ministry. I'm here to tell you, when you get the Holy Ghost, he says, ye shall be witnesses. Thank God. Thank God. Something has got to be conceived in me tonight that is of the Holy Ghost. We're going to win the lost to Jesus. Knowledge of God's will. And it's the will of God for us to read and study the Word of God. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. Now, I've told you what the will of God is for you tonight. It's the will of God for you to be Christian. It's the will of God for you to live holy. It's the will of God for you to be a witness. And it's the will of God for you to live in that book. Don't say, "Well, I'm too young. I don't understand all that." Hey, man, you're never too young. Hallelujah. You get in it now, friend. You learn to love it. Amen. It'll grow on you. It'll never get old. It's not like booze. It's not like drugs. The more you take, the worse you get. That's right. Wind up old and haggard and in the grave. But when you feed on this, hallelujah, Brother Claiborne, it's new every morning. New every morning. New every morning. Like the dew of heaven falling on me. Always fresh. Always exciting. Praise God. Thank God for His Word. Knowledge of His will. Now, I'm not going to take a lot longer. My voice is going, and some of you are going. But I'm not quite done yet. I've had too many camp meetings this year. Hallelujah. But God's good. Man, His presence is so beautiful. Now, let me tell you another quality that comes when you learn to turn everything over to the Lord. Are you ready for this? Genuine beauty. Now, you know, this is the truth. Sometimes I go look in the mirror and I scare myself. I do. I go and I look in the mirror and I say, "Lord, You had a wonderful sense of humor." I was in the restroom a little while back, and I don't know why, but I had a towel over my head, and I was looking in the mirror, and my wife came in, and she said, "My Lord and my God, Arafat." She said, "I reminded her of Arafat." Have you seen Arafat lately? Arafat is ugly. Therefore, I must be ugly. Some of you look in the mirror and you scare yourself too. But you know what the real thought in mind here is? When you get the Holy Ghost, you're not sad anymore. You know, the thought in mind here is, we're talking about anger and worry. You see, no angry person is beautiful. Now, if somebody gets angry, their head swells up almost twice its normal size. You know, smoke comes out both ears. Nostrils flare. Hair stands up on end. Not beautiful. And also people worry. You know, you can have take a real pretty face and it can screw up in all kinds of contortions. Worry. That's not beautiful. That's ugly. Now, David said, "The Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." Oh, man. There's been some people that have come to the Lord. They look that sin is a terrible taskmaster. It makes us ugly. But there's something about the Holy Ghost on a life. There's a glow there that can't come by any other means. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have to listen to anybody's remark. Even my wife's, that I look like Arafat. I got the Word of God that tells me I'm beautiful. Don't you let anybody tell you you're not beautiful. Hallelujah. When you're in the church, you're beautiful. You're the apple of His eye. You're beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful.
Hallelujah. Let me give you one more on this quality business. There's bunches of them, but another quality that comes when you learn to turn everything over to the Lord is increased joy. Now, how many of you, I probably shouldn't ask this question, but how many of you are looking forward to getting married someday? All right. Okay, I want to tell you something right here. I want to tell you something. Don't anybody look in this section right here because nobody raised their hands. Okay? Praise God. Now, let me tell you something about you know, people look forward to marriage. But I've seen a whole lot of situations where the people come and they get married. And it's joy. Oh, it's beautiful. The wedding day is woo! But it's all downhill after that. Have you ever seen that? Well, a lot of people, that's the way it is when they get the Holy Ghost. Some people just come and get the Holy Ghost and they run off, and it's just like some people get married and they fight like cats and dogs after the wedding. Or they split up, or they get divorced, or they get separate. That wasn't the way God planned marriage. That's right. When a young man and a young lady come together and they're married in the Lord, praise God, and it's a virtuous relationship, and they've laid everything on the altar, and they make Jesus Christ the centerpiece of their relationship. Amen. It is until death do us part. And it gets more beautiful. It gets more wonderful as each day passes. That's the way it is with the Holy Ghost. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Hallelujah. It gets better. It gets gooder. It gets more wonderful. Just taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Oh, come on, let's applaud Him. There's no joy like this kind of joy. Isaiah said, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. Not less joy. Not status quo joy. Increased joy. Honey, if you think that it's good now, you wait till tomorrow. You wait until next week. You wait until next month. My God's full of surprises. Hallelujah. He delights in giving good gifts to His children. Increase joy. Hallelujah. You know, I think the Lord is sometimes into tickling His people. Not in a frivolous sort of way. Oh, I know we've seen people laugh in the Spirit. As long as it's in the Spirit, it's okay. Don't ever anybody in this room get caught mocking this kind of thing. Amen. Because God is not pleased. We don't do it in the flesh. Well, we're in the flesh, but we don't do it in the flesh. We do it in the Spirit. And we do it pleasing unto God. And there's sometimes when there has been a spirit of holy laughter that has come upon me. But it's rich. It's beautiful. It's not frivolous. It's deep. It's wonderful. It's joyous. Hallelujah. And it's like the Lord just taking you and just saying, I want you to know, hallelujah, that you're the apple of my eye. And I love you with an everlasting love. Hallelujah. There's joy in serving Jesus. Praise God. Now,
I got a little grandson. I got twin grandsons. If y'all want to see a picture after the service, you come and ask me. I'll show you. Little Morgan. Morgan, a lot of times he'll come up to me. He'll say, "Tickle me, Papa, tickle me." And I'll say, "Morgan, are you sure you want Papa to tickle you?" He'll go. He remembers, you see, before. And I say, "All right, lay on your back now." And I'll start. He'll start laughing before I touch him. He's going, "Tickle, tickle, 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 tickle. Stop it, Papa, stop it. I thought you wanted me to tickle you. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Tickle, 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 tickle. Stop it, stop it. Tickle, tickle, tickle. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Tickle, tickle, stop." And he's there and he's just laughing. And then after he calms down, he look up at me and says, "Do it again, Papa, do it again." You know, some of us, you know, camp meeting's just about over. And there's some of you young men and young ladies, you received the Holy Ghost, and you had some good times here at camp, but you haven't broke through real yet, like you know you ought to. You know, you ought to just say to the Lord, "Do it again, Lord. Do it again. I want to feel that joy. I want to know when I leave this camp that you and I got a relationship. Hallelujah. That when the going gets tough and the tough gets going, it's you and me, Jesus. My hand is in your hand. You're never going to leave me, and I'm never going to leave you, because I'm going to keep my hand in your hand." Hallelujah. He's the God of joy. He's the God of peace. He's the God, hallelujah, that says, "I'm with you, son. I'm with you." Praise God. All right. Amen. It's been different, hasn't it? Than the other night. Been different. Just a little instruction to go along the way. Praise God. But now, even if we're not finished, we'll wrap it up. Now, if you're going to make this work, I got to give you some homework. Okay? How many of you are willing to have some homework? Okay. That's about half of you. Man, that makes me feel tired. Oh, Lord, couldn't we have a banner class here? Praise God, everybody. Everybody do some homework, okay? Now, the homework is not difficult. And you can't cheat, because only you can do this. Now, when you go home, you can't forget. You got to get a little piece of paper out. A blank sheet of paper. And on this sheet of paper, you're going to write down everything you get angry about. And you're going to write down all the things you get worried about. Okay? Is that a deal? Now, for some of you, one sheet of paper won't do. So, some of you might have to go to the local office supply and buy a whole ream. That's 500 sheets. Now, surely 500 sheets will be enough. All right? So, what you're going to do, you're going to write down all those things that bug you. Okay, I'll help you with your list. Top of the list, Mom and Dad. All right? Do you ever get mad at your mom and dad? Do you ever get angry? Okay, good. Then you don't have to write that down. You get worried or anxious about them, write it down. All right? Next one on the list could be like reputation. Reputation. You know, you get worried about your reputation. You get anxious about your reputation. You try to overly defend your reputation. People say bad things about you, this and this and this. "That's not true. You're such a big one." You know, things like that. We try to defend ourselves. So instead of doing it like that, we write it down. And we understand that reputation, we put it in the hands of God, because we didn't have much of a reputation when we came to the Lord in the first place. Right? So, put it down. So, and then another thing you could put down would be future. You worry about the future?
What's going to happen?
See, young people, many young people were asked this question in schools here a little while back, asked about the future. And the pat response was, what future? Most young people in the world don't believe there's any future. There's no future. So, if you're worried about the future, write it down. The wrong thing to do is to read the horoscope. That's right. We don't need the horoscope. We don't need the stars. We don't need Aunt Lulu. We don't need Gypsy May.
Oh, I see a long line. You are going to live long on the earth. That's the good news. The bad news is you're going to have all kinds of heartache and trouble.
You know, hey, listen, friend. We're living in a world where most of the people are looking to the stars for their future. They're looking to the horoscope. They're into all of this kind of stuff. Young people, keep yourself from this. Amen. Shut it. Run away from it. Hallelujah. Put it in the hands of God. Realize you don't need the stars. Amen. You don't need your astrological chart. All you need is the one star in your life. His name is Jesus. There is no other, and there is no higher. Jesus! Oh, come on, let's applaud Him. Hallelujah! The list. Oh, the list will be long. Oh, you can add health. Health! Anybody, young person, ever worry about their health? You get a pain in your foot, you think you got a brain tumor? Deferred pain. You know, we don't make fun of sickness, but I'm just saying, friend, one young lady came up to me the other night and said she was healed of some deal that she's had for years and years. Praise God. Amen. No, we don't preach against doctors and we don't preach against hospitals because we believe any way to get rid of sickness and the curse is good. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus is still the great physician. His health is in your health is in His hands. Hallelujah. He's able. All right. What about clothes? That could be on the list. Clothes. You ever worry about clothes? You're worried about what you're going to put on and what you're going to wear, huh? You know, I've been on both sides of the water. Over in the Philippines, I had a guy come to me after Bible school. He's going to go preach. He had one pair of pants. And he said, sir, he said, you see my pants? There they can't pronounce their P. They say, you know, pants. You see my pants? Sir, he said, they have holes in them. He said, you can see through the holes in my pants. He said, sir, it is very hard to serve the Lord when you are naked. That's what he said. Amen. So that was just, so I went and I got him some pairs of pants and he got them made over by the tailor and he was in good shape. And then you come back to this side of the world, huh? And we have some of our young ladies, especially because they're kind of into this, you know, stuff. Men are into it too, but listen, some of them, they got a closet in their room, you know, it's the whole size of the wall, and the doors are on rollers, you know, and so we get some, and they get up on Sunday morning, they're getting ready to go to church, and they open the closet. My Lord and my God, what am I going to wear today? Huh? Listen, friend, whatever it is, amen, put it, just write it down. Realize that food and a little bit of raiment, the Lord is going to provide for us, and then we're beyond that, we're going to trust God. realize that this life is just a dressing room for the great life to come. Hallelujah. And we're just pilgrims and sojourners passing through. Now, your homework is ready. You're going to take the paper and you're going to hold it up before the Lord now, just you and the Lord. And you're going to say, Lord, these are the things that I get angry about and that I get worried about and I get frustrated about. And Lord, I'm putting it in your hands through meekness. It's in your hands now. Hallelujah. And then you apply that scripture. You can quote the scripture while you're giving it to the Lord. You can say, Lord, here it is, and I'm giving it to you. And I'm going to quote this scripture, for all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. I rest my case in your hands, Lord. I truly do trust you. You're my friend. You're my brother. You're my Lord. You're my chief. You're everything to me. And it's in your hands. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now let's stand and applaud the chief. Everybody. Oh, hallelujah. It's in your hands, Lord. It's in your hands. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope you understand tonight, not because we were talking about this stuff, but if you will take these principles and apply them to your life early, friend, you will have a quality life in Jesus Christ. Because when you meet every situation, what you're going to do, you're going to take what Paul said. Paul said, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, tender mercies, humbleness of mind, long-suffering, meekness. He said, put it on. Now, he was talking to Holy Ghost-filled Christians. Does it not isn't it understood that if he said, put it on, they took it off somewhere along the way? They drape meekness over some chair somewhere, and they're out there trying to battle life's forces without meekness. He said, go put on meekness. Do you know when you know if you need to put on meekness? That's when you get that anger and that worry. They bubble up. And you get that hot head, and you get up. Now you're trying to take it. Meekness is draped over the chair somewhere. What you got to do, this is a quality that you must continually, consciously develop. You understand what I'm saying? Get it in your mind. Say, uh-oh. Thank you, Jesus. You see, anger and worry become like pain. You see, if you didn't have pain, you wouldn't know you had a problem. But anger and worry are like pain. They're emotional signals from the Lord that let you know you're trying to change or control something that you oughtn't to be involved in. Praise God. So go pick up meekness. When you got the Holy Ghost, you got the fruit of the Spirit, which is meekness. Hallelujah. Isn't it going to be a wonderful life of living? Amen. Free. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You know what, folks? I know we could do a whole lot of things right now, but this has been I try to feel after the Lord. The last several nights, God has done some great things in people's lives. I know He has. And you have been an absolutely phenomenal group. And I want to thank you for your respect. I want to thank you for the way you have listened. All of you. Amen. Even some of you that felt like you weren't really into it that much. Amen. I appreciate you very, very much. And I covet every one of you in this room for the kingdom of God. I don't believe we ought to lose one of you to the devil or to hell. Hallelujah. I believe that we could believe God for everyone in this room to march on those streets of glory. Hallelujah. We could get a mood in here, say we're not going to give up one of these young people to the devil or to eternal hell. Hallelujah. We want eternal life. We're going to an eternal city. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Which is lit by the light of Jesus Christ. Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every one of us go? Amen. Now, there's not room for all of us up here tonight. And I'm just feeling after the Lord right now. I think right where we stand, I believe that we can make commitments. If I could just get you to make the commitment that you'd really go home and do this homework, well, that'd be something else. Where you get in the quietness of your room, your home is just you and the Lord, and you take out that little sheet of paper and you start writing down those things. Lord, these are the things that I'm really, that's really got me. Some of you, you got a situation you think there's no way out. I'm here to tell you there is a way out. Amen. You're going to give that list to the Lord. How many of you believe the Lord does it well? Hallelujah. He does it well. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's in His hands. It really is. All right, right where we stand, right where we stand. Pick somebody out that's near you. And let's pray with one another that God will help us to understand these principles. And that we will take them with us and that we will live our lives. Hallelujah, by the principles. Amen. The emotional problems that we experience, praise God, will be alleviated through the wonderful fruit of the Spirit. Blessed are the meek. Hallelujah. 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 Pray for one another in sincerity. Say, we're going out of this place, praise God, with renewed vision, with renewed determination. Praise God. We're going to live for God, and we're going to understand what these emotional signals are for. I'm going to turn it over to Jesus. I'm going to rest my case in His hands. Praise God. Praise God.
Go ahead and love each other. Go ahead and pray for each other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I love you. I love you, God. I love you, God. Oh, what a great God we serve. What a great God we serve.